From the edges of our universe to the deepest places in our souls, Ryan O'Neill of Sleeping At Last musically and lyrically takes the hard-to-process human experience and gives it new eyes and new ears through his work and his art. If there's one theme that doesn't change through all of his work, it's that those of us that are fortunate enough to cross paths with it never leave that experience the same as we found it. Ryan joins us today at Let the Music Play podcast as we discuss work, art, process, and creativity. I'm Ashton Gustafson, and this is Let the Music Play.
Like, I feel like my career in music, especially in the last few years, is so much about output. Like, I'm mm-hmm. writing and recording all the time, mm-hmm. and that is so fun, and I love that process. But I have to constantly remind myself to put input as well, you know, to make time for input, whether that's watching movies, reading, just researching something. So not writing. Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, Ashton Gustafson here, and welcome to another episode of Let the Music Play. I am, I'm humbled, I'm honored, I'm super stoked today to have Ryan O'Neill from Sleeping At Last. When we get done with this interview, I really hope that you guys come to get to know the man behind this whole beautiful work of art that is Sleeping At Last. The music, the lyrics, everything this guy does is just unbelievable, and it's a joy to introduce him to the listeners of Let the Music Play. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Seriously, what an honor it is to get to talk.
Well, dude, I think the first place I ever interacted with you and your work was a Bob Goff conference in Austin a couple years ago. And my wife and I were there, and I don't really recall what the first song you played was, but I was like, this dude is on a different plane.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much. Seriously, that is seriously so kind.
So, I'm a huge fan, love your work. And you and I, you know, had an experience a couple months ago. We got to go on a retreat, and it was good to just spend some time with you. But I really wanted to introduce our listeners to you, your work, how you work, what you do, creativity, and all those types of things. Before we get going, tell us a little bit about Sleeping At Last. You have like a kind of an intro to who you are and what you do, and maybe where did the name Sleeping At Last come from?
Yeah, absolutely. So Sleeping At Last, though it sounds like a band name, but it's actually just me. And so it actually originally started quite a while ago when I was much younger than I am now. Started as a band with my brother and my best friend Dan. And, it's always been this kind of like this project that's my personal journal. So when those guys kind of early on went in different directions, I kept the name and kept it going and just decided to Sleeping At Last is the name of my journal.
as silly as that is. And you've called it your audio journal. Is a lot of this work before?
Yeah, exactly. Which is quite literally the cheesiest possible thing I've ever said. But
hey, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. That's so true. But the name Sleeping At Last came from a poem by Christina Rossetti. When I was really, really young, I think I was probably 16 or 17 years old. So this name has been with me for a long time. I went into a bookstore with a friend and knew that like the name of my music had to have some sort of, I needed to come up with something. And I jokingly said that, you know, this next, whatever page I flip to of this poetry book is going to be that whatever title or whatever I see first is going to be the name of the band. And Sleeping At Last showed up on the next page, and I totally loved it. And I
took
a few days later, and I was like, yeah, that feels right. Cause I've always had an interest in gentler music and a little bit more intimate. And, so it's funny over the last, over a decade, the name has made more and more sense with my genre of music.
Wow. And you are, when you say you are the band, you are, when people listen to your music and this stuff is magical, you're 90% of it. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So everything that you hear is essentially me, unless I have a friend or a guest, come on. And, you know, a lot of the times the strings on my music will be, with people that I love working with, but it's all me. And I'm kind of an introvert and a little bit of a solitary person in some ways. So, that's sort of, it comes through in the recording process too. It's just me in my studio and, I kind of treat the studio as like a writing partner.
Yeah. Hey, I'm right there with you. We are introvert brothers.
That's right.
So you don't tour? I mean, when you are the band, how's that work? I mean, do you ever hit the road?
Yeah, so I have toured quite a bit. These last few years, I decided to focus more on writing and recording, which is, you know, definitely the thing that I love most. I love performing. It's so much fun. But there's so many variables involved that yeah. with, you know, with sound and that kind of stuff. And yeah. I definitely, as an introvert, love the idea of being in a studio and nobody gets to hear it until I feel like they should.
Yeah. Wow.
You know? Until I feel like I can let go of it. With a show, with a tour, you know, your best and worst is on display all the time. So I have loved touring, so I don't want to sound like I don't, but I have not toured quite as bit in these last couple of years. But when I do go out, I have a list of friends that I just love working with, and they kind of make up my band on the road. And so I have toured quite a bit, but recently I started doing, I guess not so recently, but in the past few years, I started recording more series of music rather than albums.
Yeah.
So that keeps me busy all the time in the studio. And that's kind of the reason that touring has been more intermittent.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that here in a minute. I don't want to spoil that yet. so, who've been some of the artists, both the ones that sparked your interest to music, and then the ones that are keeping you curious today? Who have been some of those bands, musicians that have played a role in your musicianship?
Yeah, for sure. So, I would say the earliest band that I remember just feeling like, oh my gosh, I didn't know music could do this, would be Radiohead.
Yeah.
And I think I got the Benz or OK Computer.
Yeah.
In different levels, both of those records when they came out were totally blew my mind. And yeah. and I just remember thinking, like, I think at that point I just started playing guitar, and I just remember thinking, like, this music is so much more than just like a cool thing to do, you know, like it can really move you, or you can it's art. And so that was a huge inspiration early on, and still is. And then right after that, a band called Sunny Day Real Estate, who kind of taught me, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but
I'm not.
The singer Jeremy Enoch, he has a voice that's in a little bit of a higher range, and that sort of was really inspiring to me too, because that just sort of fit my voice anyway. So it kind of gave me the confidence that, you know, that I could like music that has a higher up male vocal. So that was a huge influence. And also they wrote very like emotional music, and that was another thing that I had always gravitated towards. And so it was encouraging. Then I would say Nick Drake was another huge influence in terms of like just the intimacy of the songs. And that definitely leaned me more into appreciating more acoustic type of instrumentation. And so now I would say I listen to a lot of film scores. That's always that's probably the most music that I listen to now. Although I don't listen to a ton because of always working on music.
Yeah.
And then I love Joanna Newsom. I think she's incredible. Yeah. She's always, I feel like everything she puts out is makes me think about, you know, something differently. And I love that. So, and there's also some staples over the last, you know, pretty much all of my life that I've appreciated in different capacities, but Billie Holiday, Nat King Cole, some of the older vocal jazz stuff like that has been a huge inspiration that music can be this, just again, like this really meaningful and just special art form.
With golden stream, our universe was clothed in light. Thank you.
In all this, one of my favorite things I love to ask guys like yourself that are highly creative and are constantly putting their work into the world, do you have like established, consistent practices or processes that you have for all of this work that you're doing? Because you scored a movie, didn't you, in the last 12 months?
Yeah, I did. I scored a documentary called Many Beautiful Things.
Yeah.
And that was my first, like feature-length score. I've done some short films and things like that, but that was my first, like brand new to the scoring experience of that length. And
wow. So you got that going. You've got all other, you know, projects of themes and things that you're writing and pointing towards. How do you have anything established, practices, processes that kind of keep you, you know, consistently in that rhythm each and every day of producing?
Yeah, absolutely. I try to stick to a few practices that has seemingly have helped the music along a little bit. But it is this, and I've said this quote a bunch, and I believe I pulled it from the Songwriters on Songwriting book by Paul Zolo. I can't remember who he interviewed that said this, but it's stuck with me forever. But songwriting is so much like waiting for a bus. You know, all you can do, you can't control when the bus is going to come, but you can make sure that you're at the bus stop waiting for it. So, my version of that looks like recording all the time. So I not only actually recording to, you know, to commit to music, but also recording ideas and thoughts and little, if I sit down at the piano, I'm always pressing record if there's a chord that just makes sense that day, you know, if there's a little tiny series of notes that just all of a sudden click in some way. So I keep these recordings, and I do the same with words, where if it's a thought or a word or anything that, that kind of crosses my mind, I have these apps for both of those types of recordings that's sort of where it all starts. So the practice of just collecting all the time has been a huge, huge help for me.
And so you collect, but you've got to show up.
Yeah, you got to show up. And that's one of the big, keep your butt in the chair is kind of the name of the game for this for me. And almost embracing that, like, that writer's block is going to be a part of the writing process. Like it's as much of the writing as writing itself, you know. I always joke that, like, pretty much my not writing and complaining about it or being frustrated or stuck on something, that's always, you know, that's more a part of the song than actually, like, that takes up more of my time than the actual, like, putting pen to paper. But yeah, so collecting all the time and just making sure that I'm always in that frame of mind as often as I can. So I have this app called Day One, and it's a journaling app that I use for lyric writing. And so every day, I would like to say every day, but I try every day to sit down and just dedicate, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, to put something in that in that app, just some, whether it's a word or a thought or if some, you know, it's usually not as developed as a full lyric idea or even a line. It's more just a free writing. So I do that. And then I also do the same I use the recording app on my phone that I sit down at the piano or the guitar and we'll just kind of mess around. That time I feel like is the most, it's the most important of the whole creative process for me, because I feel like it brings me back to when I was, you know, 15 years old and in my bedroom, like, trying to figure out something new on the guitar for the first time. Like, there was like there's a patience that I had back then that I, you know, have to make sure I carve enough time to continue on now. So
it's this element of, like, living, giving yourself the opportunity to discover.
Yeah, exactly. It's so much about, like, I feel like my career in music, especially in the last few years, is so much about output. Like, I'm writing and recording all the time, and that is so fun, and I love that process, but I have to constantly remind myself to put input as well, you know, to make time for input, whether that's watching movies, reading, just researching something. So I just, even just not writing, mm-hmm. it fills you back up. So I try to always keep the input-output balances in check.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine with the output that you have when you're fitting in time for the input.
Yeah. It definitely is getting more and more challenging between being a new dad, relatively new dad. I have a 1.5-year-old daughter, and just making sure that I'm showing up for all the areas of my life that are important to me. But yeah, I do write a lot of music, so. It's sometimes it requires me to stop putting deadlines and stuff and just put free time to be inspired again.
Yeah. So would you say, what most often, and I think it changes as our journey and the human experience changes, but what speaks to you? I mean, I know for me, my two girls, they're just teaching me each and every day as a poet and songwriter. I know when you wrote Sight, that had to have been brought on a little bit from your daughter. What is it? Nature? What speaks to you a lot?
It's all of the above, man. So yeah, my daughter for sure, like you said, it's every day there's something. And if I could and wouldn't, you know, bore everybody on earth to death, pretty much every song of mine would be a love song to her. But I there are several of them in my catalog, even before she was born. It's kind of crazy. I feel like I've she will grow up with quite a catalog of music dedicated to her. But you're right. Nature is a huge deal for me, whether that's being present in it or learning more about it. I love these nature documentaries by David Attenborough. So I do that. That's sort of like it feels like church to me.
Yeah.
So that just always fills me up. Just understanding more about the intricacies of all things. Like it blows my mind. And the last few years too, I've just been super inspired by all things space. So I feel like I spend a good chunk of every day reading up on new NASA news and SpaceX, and so I get excited about that stuff. But most of it's when you least expect it. I feel like when I really try to aim to be inspired, that's kind of the trick about the mm-hmm. input, is that you know you need it, and then as soon as you try to have it, you're basically, you know, completely numb to anything that's happening.
too
aware. So I try to make time for it and then see what happens and not get too disappointed if I, you know, don't find the inspiration. But a spark always comes out, like at the you know, most unexpected places, and whether it's like something a stranger said, or, you know, there's little tiny things that trigger everything. So
yeah, I love it. We just got to be aware.
Yeah. And I do feel like lyrically too, and this is such an obvious thing that I wish I could go back and tell myself way earlier on, but whenever I make a practice of reading often, I can just tell that my vocabulary and my, just the process of writing lyrics just comes out so much smoother. It just eliminates some of the struggle to grab onto some of the words I'm looking for.
That makes so much sense.
And which is dumb that I am just realizing this now, you know, but
hey, the older we get, the wiser we become.
Yeah. Right.
I love it. So, I want to talk about Atlas because, I'm going to feel bad if I try to describe what's going on here, because I haven't found language for it yet, especially like I'm the outer space universe. That's me too. So when a guy comes up and he writes a song for everyone on the planets, I'm like, time out. this is dialed in. So for someone that doesn't know what I'm riffing on right here, tell us a little bit about the Atlas project. And like, this is a 3-5, I mean, how many years is this whole thing going to go?
So right now I have about 3 years mapped out. When I say a year, they do take a little longer than that. I call them Atlas year one, year two, year three. And so Atlas year one came out a couple years ago, and I'm currently in the middle of working on Atlas year two. And then obviously Atlas year three will follow. So essentially it's a series of music. So rather than an album, I'm committing to... Well, you probably actually would explain it better than me, but I'm going to try anyway.
Well, let's just say you are wrapping your hands around musically and lyrically the origins of the universe.
Yes, exactly. That's easy enough to understand, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's a concept album, but it's a series of music rather than an album. So before every Atlas year, I commit to the themes that I kind of have mapped out in my head. And throughout the whole project, basically, it tells the story, like you said, of the origins of the universe. So the very first EP was called Darkness, and it was just a few songs of my interpretation of what darkness means. But as a whole, and you know, if you think of it in the Atlas project. It's more about like the unknown, like what happened before everything happened, you know? And then Light is sort of when everything happens. So that's the next EP. And then it's almost like bringing a camera closer and closer to us. So the next, round of songs was Space 1 and 2, which was a song for each of the planets in our solar system. And then you get a little closer to us, and then you get to Land, which is North, South, East, and West, a song for each of the directions. And it sort of is these songs about just our home base. And then the oceans. So it's kind of in the order of how things developed. And then, so that's Atlas Year 1. And then Atlas Year 2 is actually, so Atlas Year 2 is life, and it's all about the involuntary parts of it. So we're born with gender, we're born with our five senses, and we're born with our kind of our personality and leanings, which are, which for me are Enneagram, personality types. And so it's all the kind of the involuntary stuff, whereas Atlas Year 3 will be what we do with all of those pieces. So it will be the voluntary human development. So creating, dreaming, building. So it's all of that kind of stuff, love. I always joke that like I get really into making it as complex as possible and having it be this large concept project, but none of it matters other than I have new music coming out pretty frequently, almost all the time. There was 30 songs were the first year of Atlas, and then the second year is going to have 25 songs. And then I haven't announced the next year, but it'll be very close to that length as well. So it's a lot of music that has this theme of just the origins of everything.
Infinity times infinity. Infinity times infinity times infinity. Infinity times infinity times infinity times infinity. Let there be light, let there be light. Let me be.
I don't have language for it, dude. Like it is,
man.
It
I
is
don't
so
either.
Dialed in.
But oh, thank you.
I mean, I'm talking like it is cosmic beauty. And maybe I think one of your greatest giftings that you bring to light, I think, in your writing is you will write a sentence that we have never known that we've all thought our entire lives because we just didn't know how to say it. And you,
that's so kind.
And you
Thank
say
you.
It. So like in Sight, when I came home from our weekend and you'd played Sight for us, I let my wife listen to it and she was like, what just happened? And I was like, that's what I'm telling you. I was like, this is crazy. So for those of our listeners, you know, you're going to get on Spotify and you're going to spin this stuff and it's going to absolutely blow your mind.
That is so kind, man. Thank you.
Well, it's true. So let me ask you this. When you start a year and you line it out and you go, okay, I'm about to put out a volume of work that's going to be about this. you speak it before you grab the guitar, sit down at the keys. Is that right?
I do. Yeah. So it's almost like, it's kind of like a thread of theme, you know, going through the whole thing. So I can, as I'm writing, it's fun rather than starting with a completely blank page. Like I get to have these little, this thread to kind of connect things to as I go on. So yeah. So I announced Atlas Year One well before even the first song was written. And I just knew thematically what I wanted to do with the project. And also, so on a more practical level, I offer these as subscriptions. So they come out. So for the Atlas Year One, it came out as individual EPs as soon as they were released. And then as subscribers, you get them early, but they all come out in iTunes and Spotify and all that. And then Atlas Year Two is actually a little bit different. So it's coming out in singles. So every time I finish one song, it goes out to the subscribers as well as to Spotify and iTunes. So in the creative process, even though I am a little bit of an introvert, it is so incredibly satisfying to be able to finish something and know that I get to share it right away. I feel like part of making a record or even an EP is you kind of tuck the songs away for a little while until you get like a big campaign around promoting it and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like something in that process ends up removing a little bit of the writer's like excitement about it. You know, it's just like things fade a little bit in the background, and so this is just so fun to be able to, like, as soon as I finish, you know, it gives more reward at the end of every, you know, as soon as I send a song to mixing or any of that kind of stuff, I'm like, it's so much closer, it's gonna come out and people get to hear it. So that keeps things really, really fun for me.
And something just clicked with me in you sharing that is when you speak kind of like where this year is going, you kind of define your work. So like you know what needs to be done, but there's also a beautiful amount of uncertainty as to what the work's going to actually end up being.
Exactly. Which
but at least you know it's there. It's like, hey, I'm about to write five songs on the five senses. We got to get after this. So I need to be taking notes and I need to be aware. I need to be plugged in. It totally plugs you into the moment, to the now, rather than pulling us back into the past, shooting us into an unknown future. It makes you be fully present here and go, okay, I'm going to write this song on Sight. And you get lost in your daughter's eyes. And an hour later, you're on the keys and the song's written.
Exactly. I wish it was that easy.
Right.
I'm like, man, I would pay a lot of money for it to be... for the writing part to go that way. Just an hour. Oh man, if I could write a song in an hour, I would be high-fiving everybody.
No, I hear you.
But no, it is so true. Like it almost it's a risk in a way, just because, you know, obviously I take people's I ask people to subscribe to something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that just motivates me so much more. I almost feel like when left to my own devices, like I end up going, you know, in circles. And so this gives me a really clear, like, okay, I know I have to write songs about these things. And I've already kind of thought through, even though none of the songs are written, I kind of think through like a general sketch of what a song about Sight might look like, or what Daughter, the song Daughter, will sound like, what will represent, like, you know, that end of it. So and then all that stuff just fully just inspires me. So rather than starting with like, hey, you can write any song in the world right now, go do it. I feel like that, I just stare at that for a long
time.
That's
beautiful. Man, that's beautiful. So, somehow I'm going to take that with me to put into the days that are coming ahead. Give them a theme, give them something to grab onto. Beautiful. Okay, let's talk about Saturn, because the video was just released, and I once again, I'm out of language, so I don't know how we describe what happened in that thing, but who'd you collaborate with to put that music video together?
So it was directed by Tom Shea, and he's a new friend of mine. About 6 months ago, I saw on Twitter somebody posted a little tiny clip that was from his Vine. He did a Vine video of these. It was using one of my songs for, you know, the 6 second Vine video, and it was just a reverse sparkler essentially, and similar to what you see in the Saturn video. And I was blown away by it. And so I direct messaged him and I just said, "Hey, I don't know if you've ever, I haven't seen any more of your work other than your Vine." He has a pretty developed like Vine page. Like he's done a lot of work and he's kind of used that art form in a really cool way.
Gotcha.
So other than that, I've never seen any long form or even, you know, music video form or any of that kind of stuff from him. I just thought it was so beautiful and just out of the blue asked him if he's ever interested in making a music video to let me know. And so he got started right away. And I kind of explained a couple of the things that I was thinking, and he came up, you know, it was just an awesome collaboration. And he came up with some ideas of, you know, what if it was kind of mixing both the, you know, these beautiful sparks, but also the stars in the sky. And it all came together beautifully. And what was kind of cool about it was, he was like, "Well, what song do you want to do it for?" And I'm like, "I don't know. So just make the video and then we'll pick the song later." So,
oh, wow.
And so he did, he shot a bunch of footage, sent me some stuff. And I said, you know, this is the direction I want to go. And I think that because of what it looks like, I feel like this belongs to Saturn. And so then we started editing it down to that song specifically. And so it was really cool. It was like a music video in reverse.
Yeah.
And
wow.
There's a lot of reverse footage in it. So it fits the vibe of the whole thing. So,
well, man,
but
you guys
he was great.
Incredible synergy on that project.
Oh, thanks, man. And then the cello and strings that you hear in that is from Sharon Gerber, who's one of my favorite collaborators ever. She is, if you've heard cello in any of my music, that's more than likely her. And she's just wonderful, wonderful, talented.
Man, yeah, we're gonna have to we'll get the video embedded into the show notes so people can check
it
out. And you may not have an answer for this, but and the answer may change some, and it may change from song to song and project to project. But would you have like a goal, or when someone leaves the experience of your music, you know, what is it that you want him or her to leave with? Can you even answer that?
Yeah, totally. No, it's a great question. I've actually sort of figured it out more in the most recent years, because I've actually tried to answer that earlier, and I never knew exactly, you know, I want people to feel understood, and that's a huge thing. But I think I've realized more recently that I want the songs to be able to be a vehicle for hope in some capacity.
Yeah.
So even, and it is kind of funny, because no matter how depressing a song I write is, like, there's always a string of hope that comes through, even if most of the time I didn't even intend for it to be there. It just, I think I'm incapable of writing something without, without a little glimmer of hope in there. So that's definitely what I, for lack of a better word, hope people will find
it
in the music.
Yep. I love it. Well, it's there. I can tell you that.
Thanks, man.
Lately, have you read or come across anything, be it books, ideas, that have really shifted your thinking a bit? Because I know you read and you study, and hey, you can go universe on this, you can go Enneagram, you can answer it any way you want to.
That's awesome. Well, oddly enough, I mean, the retreat that you and I went on, Father Richard Rohr was teaching us about Enneagram and spiral dynamics. And so
spiral dynamics, by the way,
man,
just Google it. That'll take you for a trip.
Yeah. I've made the mistake of trying to explain it to a few friends when I clearly have no like place in trying to articulate it, because it is like, though I was totally inspired and felt like I learned a lot, I definitely am not the one that should be explaining it to anybody.
Right. When you start with like, five magic markers and a blank sheet of paper.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, all right, everybody, look here. And then it usually ends with being like, wait, I think I got that wrong.
Right.
So those conversations that we all got to share in for that retreat I'll be inspired by that for the next, I don't know, hopefully forever. But so Father Richard Rohr's teachings, as well as his writing, and there's been some interviews that I've looked up of his too, that have been really, really inspiring. So I would say that's definitely, right now, really inspiring me, especially because in my Atlas Year 2 that I'm currently working on, I just finished up the five senses, and I just began the four basic human emotions. Wow. And then following that will be actually the Enneagram. So I'm going to write a song for each of the Enneagram types, I'm like, you know, chomping at the bit to get to those songs, because I feel like the things that we learn from that time together talking about Enneagram, I'm just really excited to see what comes through in the songs.
Yeah.
So I would say that I'm always watching movies. Sorry, my dog is
hey, no
also
worries.
Contributing some answers to this question. he would actually say that he is inspired by thunder, because that's what's going on right now.
That's right. There you go. Love it.
He finds a lot of inspiration in the storms. But yeah, so that's probably the single, there's a few books that I've read recently. Mike McCarg has, he goes by Science Mike. He has a book coming out, later this year that I just got to read, and it's beautiful. And that was super inspiring. Another friend of mine, Mike Foster, has a book coming out called People of the Second Chance later this year too, which is also totally like, these things are filling my head with just so much to process. And
wow.
And another person that I would say that is a constant source of inspiration, whether it's getting to spend time with him or reading his book or just even stories about him, Bob Goff is, I just feel like he's one of those rare people that I feel like is really just choosing to live a beautiful life, you know?
Yep.
With golden string, our universe was brought to life. Though we may have fallen in love, every time we open up our eyes.
Man, well, I thank you so much for coming and joining us.
Are you kidding me? It's so much fun.
I know you're busy. We're going to, let's make a deal. After the Enneagrams come out, we need to get another conversation on the books.
Oh, I would love that. I would totally.
Because I want to hear how you dove into those.
Absolutely. And I think my approach is going to be to interview people that I feel like are like the archetypal personality types of that, you know.
Very cool.
Whether it's 1 through 9 or whatever.
Yeah.
So it'll be really fun to kind of like imagine a song through their perspective. And I'm a 9, and I can't remember, Eshnar, what is your number?
They tell me I'm a 3.
How are you feeling about that?
I don't know. I thought I was a 5, and then Hewitt's was like, "You're not a 5," and so I don't know. I'm leaning into the peacemaker and the 3 a little bit. So
yeah, totally. Well, I'm married a 3, so I'm a fan.
Yep. Well, there you go. Well, they say the 3 always denies that they're a 3. So
really? Oh, interesting. Well, you're too busy achieving stuff, man. That's good.
I don't know.
Getting stuff done.
I'd say a guy that puts out Atlas 1, 2, and 3 in 3 years is a 3. So, so if people want to look you up, follow what you're doing, what's the best way to support you and your work, to share your stuff, website, social media, where should we go?
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. So sleepingatlast.com is my website, and that has links to everywhere else. But my, you know, at sleepingatlast on Twitter, facebook.com/sleepingatlast. And then, my music is pretty much anywhere digital music is. So, and it's all, I have a kind of a mentality that anywhere that people choose to consume music is a gift. So I try to make my songs available anywhere people have them. So
Wow.
You can hopefully find them on any format of it.
Wow. Well, dude, from bottom of my heart and so many of us, thank you. Thank you for your good and necessary and incredible work you're putting into the universe. It's shifting us. I think the big, if I could give you a compliment, it would be that we leave your work enlarged.
Wow, man, that's seriously, that's beautiful. And I can't even articulate how much that means to me.
Well, you got it. Well, we'll stay in touch, and thanks again for joining us.
So much fun to talk. Thanks so much.
Okay, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. Talk soon. Bye.
Hey guys, before we go, I wanted to share with you Ryan's song, Sight. It was one of the songs that he released in the Five Senses part of Atlas 2 this year. This is a song he wrote for and with and through the birth of his new daughter. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to his blog entry on this because it was beautiful. He literally wrote this song so he could play one chord on one hand and hold her in another hand. For me and my wife, this song has massively enlarged us, massively shifted our thinking this year. And whether you have children or not, there's something about being near the spirit of someone that is young. And take it in. May this song speak to you. This is Sight by Ryan O'Neill, Sleeping at Last.
I see God in symmetry. I see God in all of make-believe. I see God in our grand attempts to make something beautiful before life ends. I see God in irony, fragile heirlooms within children's reach. And I see God in our damaged goods. You see God in ways I wish I could. You see God in ways I wish I could. Without instruction, without obstruction, you believe. Without container or dualism, framework, you see the Holy Ghost in broad daylight, and I see the reflection in your eyes. I see God. Sanctuary of our homes. I see God in the wilderness, in our magnetism to recklessness. Black or white or vivid color, after a while it all runs together. Our stained glass means nothing without light. I see God in our damaged good, but you see God in ways I wish I could. You see God in ways I wish I could. Without assurance, without insurance, you believe. Without condition or the promise of heaven, you see the Holy Ghost. in your eyes. I see the reflection in your eyes.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with Ryan as much as I did. Please remember to share this episode with those you love and those you lead. And as you approach this week, take a journey through Ryan's work. Visit sleepingatlast.com, purchase his music, go to Spotify, listen, allow these melodies and lyrics to take you wherever you need to go. And as always, as you approach this week, may you pause by the orchid, listen to the bluebird sing, and be love.